Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Jessica
and Linnell.
I was getting there. Tara, myself, Sandy, and we've been in James. And last time we talked about living life, you know, with love and mercy. And this time we're going to be in James 2, 14 through 16. And we're going to talk about faith without works. But boy, we have to remember that works, that doesn't save us. Grace does.
It's so good. And as we're getting ready, I want to take us back and remind, because some people on the radio aren't going to know what we've covered that may be hearing. James is writing to a Christian audience, and we have to keep in mind that he's probably trying to call out those that maybe have the Jewish background but haven't made the turn towards Christ. And so they have a belief in God, but they don't have a belief in the Messiah, as in Jesus. And these are people that have dispersed all over. And so they are people that are in great persecution. Persecution's what sent them away. And great trials and tribulations have happened. And he is trying to encourage them in the faith to stand strong where they're at. And so it's good for us to have the context. Really great quote I wanted to open us with. David Guzik, you guys know, it's one of my favorite theologians. And he, when I was studying about this particular section, he had this quote that's just awesome. He said, "Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone." And so want that in our mindset, because we're going to be talking about the differences or the importance of faith and works and kind of the order and what James is trying to communicate. So we're going to open up, and I'm going to have Linnell read for us James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26.
Okay. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead."
That's so good. So good. What translation were you reading from?
ESV.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I really liked one of the phrases. I'm going to say it now, but I want us to, we'll catch it later when we get to that point. I like that it said his faith, Abraham's faith, was active. Mm-hmm. I just liked the wording, because the wording was, it's a good choice word. Okay, so I want us to be thinking for a second about gardening. Are you a person who likes to do planting? Do you like flowers? Do you like plants? You know, and if you do, what is your favorite?
I love gardening, but I'm really not very good at it.
I'm terrible.
They're very pretty. But playing with the dirt and just like feeling the earth and all of that and the moisture is just so much fun. And seeing things actually grow is just, it's actually a miracle, because I can't get things to grow. But right now I have these little, I don't even know, they're flowers of some sort that I planted from seeds, and they're actually sprouting, and it's just my favorite thing to like watch them start to grow.
From seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best. I love it. So what's your favorite flower?
Mine's the rose.
Lily.
I like lilies also.
My roses start blooming in my yard. Greg plants me roses. He tries to plant me one rose bush every year. It's so beautiful.
Mine blossomed beautifully in the front on Mother's Day.
Aww.
I came home from church and it was like, oh my goodness, a bouquet for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love irises and I love orchids and I love roses. Those are kind of, and Gerber daisies. I kind of like have four that really just make my heart just feel so beautiful. But my irises in my yard, I have purple ones in the front, smell like grapes, and I have purple with yellow insides in the back, and they smell like lemonade. For real, you have to come smell them. But the purpose of gardening is that what we plant, we will grow. Mm-hmm. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And if you think about faith and works, I want that to be in your mindset as we're going in and looking at this, because it's about the sowing. And faith is something that we sow, we grow. And in that, we will see fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the works. And so it's a good, simple analogy to help us get the visual of that. All right, so the question we want to open with, what is the nature then of genuine faith? And it's okay, go wherever your heart is led with that question.
I've always heard that the amount of our faith is not so much what's important as the object of our faith. That when we have our faith in Jesus, he's the power. It's not, oh, I'm going to will myself to believe enough. It's that I need to know and love our Savior, because his strength is so great and his character is so good. And, you know, as the object of our faith, he has the most power, and that's just so cool.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I think a genuine faith is being consistent in your faith. You know, you just think about, you have to stand firm. I watched the people that are standing so firm in Christ while ISIS or whoever is cutting their heads off, and, you know, that is genuine faith, when you're still professing Christ as your Savior.
In the persecution.
In the persecution.
Okay. You have anything, Linnell, that's on your heart?
I don't know. I like what they both said. I guess to bounce off of what Sandy said about people just being genuine and consistency, I think that's a big deal. Even persecution is like a very big way that you see it. But even in daily life, I feel like it's almost just as hard when there are people around you that you know don't love Jesus as much as you do, and you want them to so bad. Mm-hmm. So how do you reflect the love of Christ to them? You know what I mean? Like, still, so figuring out how to do that and still being Christ to that person without offending them so much, or just really allowing them to figure out for themselves who Christ is through you, and just being that light to them, I feel like is also a huge part of it, because that's just consistent prayer for that person and that relationship. Because at that point, it's out of your hands and it's in the hands of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be confident enough in your faith in God so that you know that he can make that relationship happen and make the connection better.
So yeah, we always said action speaks louder than words.
It does.
So they have to see Christ in us.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's very good. For myself, I tie on to Linnell this morning when I was praying. I was thinking, the place I think that I have the hardest showing genuine faith is in the home. Because it is the place that they see me at my weakest. And praise the Lord that when we are weak, he is strong. Mm-hmm. But to actually walk it out to where not allowing emotion or exhaustion or pain or whatever it could be getting in the way of me being genuine in my faith walk before Greg and Michaela and Grant and Karen, you know, in our home. So I was summarizing, I was like, okay, genuine faith, and it's really fun because it fits everything that you guys just said, living faith and loving action. Like literally, it's like, it's about the life, and then it's about the love that we do in action. And so Linnell tied in that we need to have the prayer, but literally having those two at work in us. So I want us to pull some scriptures. So I'm gonna have, Linnell, I'm gonna have you go to Ephesians 2:9. Jess, I want you to read Ephesians 2:10. Sandy, I want you to do Titus 3:8. And I'll do 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we're going to go through and we'll just read each of these. And I just kind of want us to look at what it has to say about genuine faith, what it looks like, and what that action might actually appear to be in our walk. Okay. You got yours yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead. Well,
now. My verse? Mm-hmm. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Okay. Faith is not by works. Mm-hmm. Why? Pretty blunt.
Mm-hmm.
What are we not allowed to do?
Boast.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. I remember, I think I was probably like 23 or 24, and I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were just talking, I don't know, high school, and she was a really good basketball player, and in her high school, and I think on into college, I was a okay basketball player in a very small country school, so I looked like a good basketball player because I was in a small country school. And so we're both just talking and everything. And I remember this feeling of, oh, I got to make myself look good. I was so convicted. I had to call her up and tell her, I'm so sorry. I was praying, and God kind of reminded me that I was boasting. You know, and so we can do that in something so simple as basketball. Mm-hmm. How much more so about our spiritual walk?
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing that God sets these things up, because this is for our good, not boasting. Boasting creates something inside of us that's ugly and that eats us up. And so having our faith be separate from our work so that we don't boast is such a gracious gift from God, so that we're not tempted to fill ourselves up with ourselves, because ultimately that won't be satisfying.
You know, that just blessed me, because I'm praying a lot. I have been for a couple months now, but it occurred to me yesterday that it's something I think God's really just wanting me to understand. And so everywhere I look, it's coming up, and it just came out of what you said, and it's that generous, the generosity of God. And, you know, initially I think generosity, we automatically put it towards finances, money, that kind of thing. But I've been really pondering God's generosity and the fact that he's so generous that he gives us faith. Mm-hmm. And he says that he'll give us it without measure. Mm-hmm. How generous is that? And how weak am I to think that my meager walk is good enough in that of itself, and that he says I have so much more. Yeah. And so to boldly and confidently ask him, give me that generous faith that you have, that my faith may increase. Two things the disciples asked of Jesus. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, teach us to preach. They didn't say, teach us to teach. They didn't say, teach us to serve. Those things they observed, mm-hmm. and they could actually do by the model. But the increasing in faith and the increasing in prayer, those were things they asked of him, because they needed him to give them more. Mm-hmm. And so, and then trusting that immeasurably more that we can have from God if we do ask for those things. Huge. Love it. Okay. All right. So let's go to the next one, which was Ephesians 3:20. No, 3:10, excuse me. Oh, 2:10.
Okay, I had 2:10.
Can I say the right thing? It is correct here. I don't know why it was coming out of my mouth that way.
Okay, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Mm. Yeah, we forget that. He's already prepared what we're supposed to do. We just need to listen.
That makes me want to cry.
Me too, because I'm always thinking, is this what he really wants me to do? You know, you walk out in faith.
True. Yeah. So my mind, one of the things that really excited me that Jess is coming today, I really wanted to make sure that she shared this. So right now, you are getting ready to walk out and trusting him in good works, the faith of what he's intending for you. So you want to tell a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah. So a few months ago, I felt God's call in my life to go to Ireland as a missionary with team. To help lead a youth group there. And it was one of those things that I did not really expect God to make everything fall into place, but every time I expected him to close a door, he ended up opening it. And so it's just been such a cool time. I've been at Grace University now for 9 years as student and staff, and it's been a cool time of just equipping and developing me as a person and as a servant leader, both for the home and the church and the world. And I haven't really had a chance to go out into the world and be that servant leader. And now I'm getting that opportunity to go and use those gifts that God's given me. So that's been cool.
So at this point in your faith journey, you are having to faith it with what aspect?
I'm sorry.
How are you having to faith it? You're having to walk by faith right now, but what are you having to do right now that's the hard part of this journey?
Oh, man, support raising has been a lot of it that I'm going through. And right now I'm trying to balance time between moving and wrapping up responsibilities, as well as trying to support raise for the future. And so just trusting God that since he's provided the call, that he'll also provide the means for that to happen. But waiting for his timing, and not just trying to push through and rush things, but but allow him to lead and me to just follow and be obedient.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to contact you, what would be a way that they could contact you?
Yeah, they could email me. My email address is Applegarth Designs, so Applegarth Designs at gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
Applegarth Designs.
Mm-hmm.
Dot gmail?
Yes, at gmail.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. Good. All right. So do you see right here in action, we have somebody that is trusting the very verse that's kind of fun that God made you read that verse. Because it was like, God, that was one of my requests of him. It was like, please open up so that we can do this. And that you would have the verse that shows that he has prepared in advance a good verse for you to hold to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about Titus 3:8?
Okay. This is from New King James. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
Okay. What I'm wanting us to understand is that there is a necessity for good works to be evident in us. Mm-hmm. I mean, these two verses affirm that. Mm-hmm. If good works are not viewed, then the sowing has not been the object of our love, as Jess was saying earlier, and that it is who we are planting in us. And so we have to recognize that there is a necessity to what God has called us to do, and that we are walking in faith for the good works that he's planned and prepared for us. Okay, the verse that I have is 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone and the new life has begun. And so faith is that regeneration of what God is orchestrating in us, that as we have allowed that work of Christ in our heart, he's regenerating. And as he's doing that, change is happening. It must occur in us. And so we're going to need to have all things being dealt with, and he takes care of it. So this morning in my prayer time, as I was praying through things, I literally was reading something about, you know, old baggage and how I can be carrying this baggage. And so I just made long lists, and I'm like, God, here it is. I'm faithing it. I give it to you, and I ask you, deal with it so that I can move forward doing the things that you've called me to do as a person, a ministry leader, a wife, a mom, or whatever it is that you've called me to. And so we want you to come back next week, because we've just completed, it went so fast, our first on James 2:14-26. And you can contact us at www.terrorai.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.